It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, you know what looks good is that Jungle Cruise movie. I ought to go check that out.
That's how you're going to start, huh? Okay.
And I was thinking Friday evening, I was either going to watch the Jungle Cruise movie or stand in front of oncoming traffic. I'm not sure yet. I was either going to watch the Jungle Cruise movie or push bamboo shoots under my nails. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
You're usually a little bit.
You're a little bit more lenient on those family flicks.
You're a little bit more lenient. I did not see this coming, especially if you didn't pay for it.
Moment of honesty here for both of you. I've already watched it twice.
Whoa,
twice?
And I've hated it both times.
Why would you do it twice?
Well, because I love my family, and I love my wife, and my wife loves The Rock, and she loved the Jungle Book movie, so. I've watched it twice, okay, guys?
Jungle Cruise, yeah.
Jungle Cruise.
Mogwai's.
Jungle Mogwai. Mogwai. That's the name of Gizmo, the Gremlins. Isn't he a Mogwai?
You're thinking of Mowgli.
Yeah.
Mowgli.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got
Mowgli. All right, my bad.
Mogwai. Hey, I know where you're coming from. I know exactly where you're coming from. Mogwai and Mowgli, same deal. No, Gremlins, much better.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I've suffered through it, and it is terrible. The only thing I like, and you know I like Disneyland. I'm one of the few men out there that you probably know or that anybody knows. I love Disneyland.
I enjoyed Disneyland.
You did enjoy
it? By the way, the time I'd never been there before until like 2 years ago, two or 3 years ago. And so we were taking the family down there, and you mapped out for me the most efficient path to get through Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make sure you hit everything. And I
can't remember,
what,
did you do one park or both?
We did both.
Yeah.
And we knocked out every major ride. Like every ride you need to hit in one day.
Oh, man. Then I must have mapped it well.
You mapped it out well. I had kids that...
you ran fast passes?
That were running ahead and doing fast passes and stuff like that. And it was efficient. It was awesome. And we knocked out everything. We paused for a drink. We didn't even eat lunch. It was all about that business, boss.
See, and, I love that.
And you nailed it.
I love that. I love doing that, man. It's good times.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I don't even mean to be laughing. I apologize. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. No, I don't even know how to describe it, but Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You can be all right, buddy. Should we talk about it? No. All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
NBA free agency hitting fast and furious right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. According to reports... Adrian Wojnarowski and Bill Shams, both with the reports yesterday that Mike Conley has agreed to a extension with the Utah Jazz, and then Mike Conley sends out the tweet or the Instagram post with the video saying he's coming back. So, you know,
there's still reports. That's what they're reporting.
It's not official yet, but those are reports. Source, Mike Conley. Then earlier today, Rudy Gay, according to Shams and Woj, both tweet out that Rudy Gay has agreed to terms on a two-year contract with the Utah Jazz. Again, those reports from outside sources, but it's an interesting development here for the Utah Jazz, as now there's also some rumors floating that, frankly, it could be Joe Ingles that could be traded. We were just talking before the break about George Niang. That he might get traded. So there's a lot of things going on right now in terms of what this team's going to look like next year. But one thing I think we can agree on is, number one, the Jazz got better from the perimeter with the addition of Rudy Gay, a guy that can stick a three in critical moments. He is getting up there in age. What did you say, Lloyd, 34, 35?
I believe he's 35.
He's up there. Jazz got a little older, but I think that's okay, considering there's still a lot of youth on this team. And I think this team has a chance to just got quite a bit better. Now, there's a lot more left in free agency and a lot more left in trades, but I think overall today and yesterday have been pretty good days for the Jazz.
Yeah, sorry, Hans.
I like that you're adding a little bit of chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, Rudy Gay and Mike Conley have been around each other a lot. They know each other well. And they know what to expect from each other, and that's really good that you can add that. And I think that that can be helpful with each other. What did you think of the money that's been reported for Mike Conley? 3 years,
72. 74. Or is it 74? I thought I've seen
72.8 is what
I've seen. Let's see. I think was it Woj that had it at 68?
No, Shams had it at 68. Woj came in with 72.
Okay, so kind of in that range. That's kind of what we were kind of expecting.
Yeah, right in the middle.
You know, that's
$22 million, $23 million a year.
It's nothing that's overly surprising. That's kind of what the market was going to bear. But I do think the Jazz saved themselves a little bit of money compared to what Kyle Lowry got in Miami, and certainly what Chris Paul got in Phoenix. Now, those are both older point guards, and you can say the little higher on the food chain above Mike Conley, but not considerably much. And the fact is, the Jazz got their point guard for a considerably less price than those other two guys.
And I'm glad to have Mike Conley back. I went back and I looked at the five-game series against Memphis. And for everybody out there, you remember Donovan Mitchell missed, I think it was the first game, came back for the second game, and was there for the four games. And Donovan played extremely well. You know, 22, 25, 30 points. Played extremely well, but Mike Conley, Scotty, averaged basically a double-double through that series. I actually gave him the series MVP at the end of that series against Memphis. He was fantastic, you know, incredible at getting his teammates involved, incredible at scoring when it was asked of him or needed of him. Now, things worked out that in that final game, there was an injury, a tweak, and he didn't get as much time on the court. And I think in that final game against Memphis had 7 minutes and then tried to give it a go against the Clippers, but that hamstring really just held him back. But Mike Conley in that series was spectacular. And I couldn't help but think throughout the entire postseason, watching Phoenix finish it out in the West and then watching Phoenix in the finals, I couldn't help but think that the Jazz could have been right there.
Yeah. Yep.
If they had Mike Conley. And so to think Mike Conley's back with Donovan, you know, you were talking about some of the possibilities, Joe Ingles and George Niang and all the different possibilities. Well, you add Rudy Gay and you add some other, you know, you add some other pieces that can work on the perimeter, that can give you some effort defensively, but you hold on to the core that I think would have gotten you there if they were on the court, but now you've added knowledge to Quinn Snyder and you've added knowledge to this Jazz organization that you have to be very conscious of Mike Conley's health. And it's not about the best regular season record. It is about the postseason.
Oh, man, you hit it on the head there.
And so get yourself to the postseason. I don't care where you're slotted. I'm not looking for a one seed. You've done that. You've been there. You've been the best record. It doesn't matter. Now it's about conservation. It's about keeping this core together. and getting these guys back on the court, because I think they were right there, Scotty, and I'm excited to see it play back, but with some different pieces.
Well, again, we can go back, and you and I have talked a lot about what this team would have looked like in the playoffs had Mike Conley been healthy. And the question mark is, you know, do they beat the Clippers? I mean, they're up 2-0 right out of the gate against the Clippers, and they just can't seem to, from a defensive standpoint, slow down when the Clippers really figured out what the Jazz are doing. They put the Jazz through the ringers and won that series 4-2. Does Rudy Gay certainly help out? Absolutely. Does a healthy Mike Conley help out there? Absolutely. Do the Jazz probably still out there trying to figure out how to get over that hump? Sure. And I don't think the Jazz are done, but that's just my speculation here. I think that there's still a lot out on the table that they can do and things that they can address to try to find a way to continue to get better. But this is a Jazz team that has been uber aggressive, and I think you're seeing what Justin Zanuck's trying to put together here in terms of being aggressive, trying to build. Look, you've got your great core in place in terms of Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And then you just build around it with guys that can support and guys that can defend and guys that can hit a big shot here and there, especially in the playoffs. And Rudy Gay fits that mold.
So now, Scotty, you look towards who takes Derek Favors' minutes. Now, Derek Favors' minutes were fewer than you, I, or Lloyd really expected going into last season. We thought it'd be more than 15 and a half minutes per game for Derek. But that's just how things worked out. And the Utah Jazz have moved on from Derek. And now the question is, who can grab those minutes? And they've got to be efficient minutes, and they've got to be good defensive minutes. And they have to be able to fill in for Rudy in a pinch if there's an issue with Rudy. Not just fill in for him, but thrive for him if there's a postseason issue. And so the biggest question now, especially with what I believe the draft may have answered, and I don't know, we'll see how Jared Butler is, when we get to Vegas Summer League, but and if he's as good as a lot of people are potentially projecting, but that gives you another kind of guard on the perimeter that can shoot, that can play defense. But now I need to know who are my backup big man minutes.
Yeah,
and where is that coming from, and who can I trust to get them? Because we've watched a couple of years, Scotty. We have watched the Jazz struggle to try to find that. And then we felt like they kind of got that back when Derek Favors came back in the fold. But Derek Favors, and Derek, bless his heart, gave the Jazz everything he had. And I think that they were good minutes, valuable minutes. He was good on the pick and roll in moments with Mike Conley and good in the pick and roll at moments with Joe Ingles. But I need to know who my backup big man minutes are coming from, and I need to be confident that man can give me good, physical, healthy, reliable minutes. That's my biggest question.
Yeah,
standing right now.
It's a fair question to ask right now. Back to Rudy Gay real quickly. You get a guy from a three-point shooting percentage who shot 38% last year, shot 33% the year before, 40%. He's a career 35% three-point shooter. Got 4.4 attempts up last year. That was the high for his career outside of his second year in the league, when he attempted 4.8. I think that number is going to go up. When we start doing over-unders, I think he's going to be near five and a half, three attempts a game.
I think that, and look at everybody who's come into Quinn Snyder's system.
Yes.
Their three-point percentage goes up.
Right.
Look
up.
At Mike Conley could probably be the best piece of evidence. He had his highest percentage shooting from the perimeter in his 16-year career last year. Highest percentage. And taking the most attempts. His attempts were at an all-time high, and his percentage were at an all-time high. So what does Quinn Snyder do? He teaches guys how to find their moments. He gives them the confidence to take the shot, and he helps them with that. He helps them with that that timing. And we've seen every guy he's worked with improve from the perimeter. So I fully expect that from Rudy Gay. And you're going to have a lot of distractions. Bojan Bogdanović will pull. Anybody who rotates out there. You put Jordan Clarkson on the court with Rudy Gay, and, you know, everybody seems to forget that Jordan Clarkson's still a part of this team. Jordan Clarkson's a massive part of this team, and I can't wait to see how he continues to find his adjustment and fit with the Utah Jazz. But Rudy Gay might have more opportunity and more looks than he's had in his career because of the time and attention that'll be pulled in other directions.
And that's something that we've seen is certainly not only the Jazz want to shoot the threes, but they're going to try to produce as many open threes as you can. I like the signing. Yeah, he's a little old, but at the end of the day, it was pretty impressive to see exactly how this team came together, what they look like, and they're not done yet. I'm waiting to see what else happens. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there, but I think we're looking at a situation here where this Jazz team has an opportunity to really kind of remake itself but still hold its core in place, which is obviously a huge accomplishment when you try to improve and get better.
How do you feel about, you know, because you've mentioned a couple of the names out there. You mentioned Joe Ingles, and there are a lot of rumors out there and a lot of reports, and you know, we're trying to be as careful and responsible as we can with a lot of things that we talk about, but I want to know how you feel about Royce O'Neal. Is Royce just a sure thing? Is he just the guy that you keep in place in your starting five, the guy that's going to give you the 3-and-D? You know, do you feel comfortable with where Royce was when we saw the Jazz get to the postseason and we were watching Royce and what he was doing? Do you feel comfortable that Royce is the guy for that position?
I do right now. Simply because, I mean, look, some of the performances he had in the playoffs, there were stretches where he was the most reliable shooter on the court for the Jazz.
No question.
Especially when...
he had some high percentages.
When Donovan Mitchell missed some games. But Royce O'Neal, I mean, for the number you're paying him right now, and look, it's for the average Joe out there, it's chump change. I mean, for the average Joe out there, it's a huge amount of money. He's making 8.8 next year. He's 9.2 the year after that, 9.5 the year after that. I think if Royce hit the market right now, he'd be a 10-plus, 12-plus million a year guy. And you've got essentially a player that's being played below NBA average, which I think is around $10 million. So at that point, you're looking at a guy that you're getting fairly cheap by NBA standards, and it's a starter. You know, it's a high-production player that you need him to play well. For your team to be successful, more often than not, he does that. So, yeah, Royce is – I don't see Royce going anywhere anytime soon. He's got 3 years left on his contract. He's earned that. It's at a reasonable price. And off you go. But right now, the Jazz have 9 players under contract right now. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you've got your draft pick that's going to come in. That's going to make it 10. Assuming reports are true – that you'll have Rudy Gay coming in and then Mike Conley. So that bumps you up to like 12.
Do you have those contracts in front of the nine in front of you?
Yeah.
Does that come to about $145 million?
Right now, players under contract right now are $118 million. But we got to throw in the 22 for Mike Conley. So that puts you to 140. And then you throw in the Rudy Gay, if it is in fact, what was it, $12
million? Uh-huh.
That puts you at 152. Add another million or so. Well, I don't know exactly what they're going to end up paying their draft pick, but they're going to be at about, you know, 160 million before this is all said and done.
Taxes at 136.6.
Yeah,
luxury tax.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain to people what the luxury tax means?
Well, luxury tax essentially is every dollar you go over, you pay another dollar back to the league. And it gets dispersed to teams that are under the salary cap or under the luxury tax.
And you don't get
that. And you don't get that. Check. So you kind of get penalized both ways. You have to pay it and you don't receive it on the other end. Then you've got the repeater, which the Jazz, if they are over the luxury tax 2 out of the next 3 years, then they'll get hit with the luxury tax or the repeater tax, which is, let's just say you don't want to be there. You get hit really hard on that one.
I know that it jumps year to year that you repeat, but you know, you're talking about going, I think, 50% on the dollar and then a dollar for dollar, and then I think it's like $3 to $1.
Yeah. No bueno.
They eventually force you out of the luxury tax. I guess unless you're just printing money like Golden State or I don't know. Golden State's got to be 3-4 years now into luxury.
Yeah. But I got to imagine they're in that repeater range.
I know everybody loves to spend Ryan Smith's money, but Ryan Smith has a responsibility to be financially sound as an owner. And that repeater tax, when you start writing checks for $60 million, $120 million, you know, it can go really fast. And so, as you mentioned, you're already looking at $145, $150 million.
Yeah.
And you still have to put three guys on the roster. So things are tightening up, but it does look like this is going to be another tax year for the Jazz. Stand.
Yep. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. As we, we got a lot to talk about. Some news coming out of the world of college football in terms of the Pac-12. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. We will also get to number 24 in our top 60 and 60. Eric Walden will join us at 11:05. Brian Fisher will join us at 12:05. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
The general manager for the Utah Jazz, Justin Zanuck. Is it safe to say you are going to make re-signing Mike Conley a priority?
Certainly, we value Mike and what he's meant to our team. Obviously, I can't comment on how things will roll out. However, we do have a plan in place. We love him. Each move that you guys see that comes out, whether it's a draft pick, a trade, a signing, I know there's this urge to have like a hot take, but evaluating those in a silo is tough. In a couple weeks, you look back and look at it in its entirety of what we needed to do and what we were able to execute on. I think the bigger picture becomes more clear. That picture is not completed yet with a few more stages we have to go here. We have a plan, and hopefully we'll get it done.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Those are some real athletes right there. Holy smokes. Watching the canoeing. Is that rowing or canoeing? What are we calling that?
What are we calling it?
It's canoeing. I don't know, but whoever's in that, is that New Zealand?
No, this is...
Wow, she just torched everybody.
I don't know. I don't think that's canoeing. It's... is it rowing?
Pommel horse.
It's not the pommel horse. No, it's not the pommel.
Look at his shoulders. Yeesh.
Aren't those incredible? Yeah, it is
kayak. Out. Women's kayak single, 200 meters.
Oh, but it says canoe sprint. But yeah, that's a kayak. How incredibly powerful are these women's upper body? So there wasn't an American in this. Who do you, like, if you're watching, do you pick a country? Like, you're like, oh.
New Zealand always seems like a fun place to hang out.
If I see Denmark on there, I always cheer for Denmark.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I didn't see that.
Denmark came in second. If you're asking yourself why, it's because my people are all from Denmark. Can you believe that's like Poland's Popeye the Sailor Man forearms? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Like she ate her spinach.
Jeez. And she finished third.
Yeah. These people are impressive. I just watched one canoeing race. It was a tandem. And they, about 20 feet before the finish, they tipped. Did you see that?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, they tipped.
Were they leading?
Both of them went in the water.
Oh, no.
No, they were in third place when they tipped.
Crazy how in sync they are, though, as they paddle.
Yeah.
Is Aunt Becky's daughter in this? Speaking of the Pac-12.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Wasn't it USC? That she?
Is USC, was it rowing, too?
I think it was rowing, and I think it was USC. And they fronted her daughter a lot of money because she was a spectacular rower.
And she'd never been in a boat before. There wasn't a yacht.
Yeah, you can't wrong them. They're just trying to get along.
Max Olson, I believe from The Athletic. Yes, indeed. Just tweeted out, sources. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby is meeting with Pac-12 Commissioner George Kilofkoff to discuss the possibility of a scheduling alliance, merger, or other options for their conference to strategically work together.
So what do you mean? What does that mean? Just to strategically work together. What does that mean? Join forces and try to beat down the big, bad, ugly SEC? Because you can't take the other eight Big 12 teams and join them with the 12 Pac-12 teams. What does that mean? Do you form like some type of two conference alignment and you work together in scheduling to try to strengthen schedules? Do you work together in TV rights negotiations? Like, I guess it could mean all these things, right?
Yeah. And the other thing is a merger. You know, George Kolovkoff and Bowlesby are like, well, who's going to be the commissioner? Me? I thought it was going to be me. But no, I don't think there's going to be a merger.
I was just named.
Yeah, I just got the gig, man.
I just got the title. Of course I'm not going to give that up to you. Who are you? Well, I've only been around as the commissioner since 1924.
Yeah, well, you see how that worked. You know, Texas and Oklahoma left you.
Yeah, exactly. You start bringing up all the negative points of the Big 12. Everything's really worked for you, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, really, you don't have a conference. We're just meeting with you because we have a conference. And we want to be nice.
So, yeah, the Pac-20, here we come.
Pac-20.
I like the
ten
idea.
10-game schedule. 10-game in-conference schedule.
I like it. You get two non-conference, and then after that, off you go. I hate the idea.
Can you do 20? You can't.
No, I don't think you do 20, but I think a scheduling alliance certainly helps. Some collective bargaining in terms of your TV contracts. But I think it's also smart for the Pac-12 because there's a lot of rumors floating around there that the Big Ten is going to come raiding the Pac-12.
Yeah, I've seen that too. You said this, and I thought you were dead on when all of this went down with Texas and Oklahoma. The Pac-12 had an opportunity years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, to be progressive. You know, they've got all these progressive schools, Cal Berkeley and UCLA, that are forward-thinking and open-minded. It's like, how about you get forward-thinking and open-minded about college football and where your conference stands and how bad you suck and how far behind you've fallen and what you can do to improve it? You had years to do that.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You've waited, and now you're reacting again. At what point does the Pac-12 get out in front of things and say, this is how it's going to go, and this is how we're going to improve. This is how we're going to be better. The SEC was like, hey, we're the best, but we want to continue to get better.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 was like, well, we're the worst. We're going to stay the worst, and I guess we'll just react when somebody else does something. Now, I hope that their reaction can lead to something great for the Pac-12, because 100% the Pac-12 benefits you and I. Its strength is important to you and I.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how people want to look at me or look at you and say, neither one of you want Utah to win. Yeah, we want the Pac-12 to win. We want Utah to win. We want it to be successful and great. Absolutely we do. Because the more money that the University of Utah gets, the better the recruiting can be, the better campus can be, the more strength there is in the sports scene here in the state of Utah, and the better it is for Scotty and I. So we want the Pac-12 to dominate.
Very much so. Absolutely.
And it always irritates me that they just sit there.
I know.
Quietly waiting. Whether it's COVID response or otherwise.
And you hope that – now, granted, look, he's just been on the job for a couple months now. But you certainly hope that George Kolovkoff's a guy that is going to be more proactive instead of reactive. Because that's what – and I don't know if it's a president issue, but the Pac-12 is so reactive in terms of what's going on. That's why, look, I know he was a punching bag late, but – to his credit, I've already forgotten his name, the old commissioner.
Yeah, the old one.
The old guy.
Looked like Steve Young.
That's what happens when we get in our 40s, I guess.
Jim something.
Yeah, but he came in and he tried to poach Oklahoma and Texas. And like, all right, let's build this thing. Let's make this thing bigger. And that didn't work out. He adds Colorado. He adds Utah. And you got the Pac-12. Wasn't quite the grand picture he wanted, but he came in and said, look, let's do this. Let's make this thing bigger and stronger right out of the gate. George Kolovkoff's got to do the same thing. Like, he's got to find ways to say, if the Big Ten tries to raid my conference, I'm still going to be okay. Merging with, look, it's not Texas and Oklahoma, but it's Kansas. That helps you out in basketball. You got Texas Tech, which helps you out in basketball. You've got a litany of other quality teams. I mean, Oklahoma State's a quality team. Quality facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baylor, TCU, I know that
Kansas basketball.
Yeah, exactly. So there's things you can do there to make this thing bigger and stronger.
There are. Absolutely. You could come up with some really great ideas. And you can come up with some type of alliance that gives you strength in TV contract negotiation. I'm sure you saw that the Big 12 and you saw some of the talks back and forth that they weren't happy with some of the TV positioning, where some of the teams are playing at certain hours of the day, and it's like, geez, man, welcome to Utah's world.
Yeah.
Welcome to BYU's world. Kicking off at 8:15 and 8:30 every single weekend. Being put on the Pac-12 network. Like, they think they're unhappy with how the Big 12 was running their TV rights negotiations. Jeez, you've got to imagine that the Big 12 and Pac-12 joining forces could get something better done.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Big 12, I guess the Big 12 right now is panicking, because it used to be, well, why doesn't the Big 12 add two more schools, get to 12 schools, and then they've got, you know, the normal 12 schools. But the whole time it was like, well, because the Big 12 is paying 10 schools more than they would if they had to pay 12 schools.
Yeah.
And they were able to stay at 10 because they had Texas and Oklahoma. Well, right now the Big 12 doesn't have Texas and Oklahoma. They're scrambling. I think the Big 12 right now is scrambling, and I think that the Pac-12, Klivkov, Lord, are we pronouncing that right? Klivkov?
No.
And I think you're off now.
Klivkov.
Do you have a pronunciation for that? Is it Klivkov?
Now you're screwing me up. Klivkov.
Klivkov. Klivkov, because so it's a hard
E. It's a key. Now I'm off?
Do you have like some type of pronunciation on Klivkov?
That's what I thought.
He's got a real opportunity right now, Scotty, to come to the table and be like, I'm sorry, Bowlesby, you're going to need to shut your mouth. So let me show you what I propose. And if he can't do that, then he is not the right commissioner. It's got to be a commissioner that's forward-thinking and sits down and says, you're ruined. No, we're not ruined. If we add two teams, we're just as strong as we ever were.
No,
okay, show
not.
Me the two teams that you want to add.
Yeah. Who's going to add? Look, they've realized that they're going to drop nearly $14 to $15 million a year in TV revenue per team with Oklahoma, Texas out. Who do you have out there that you can add that's going to get you back to even on that TV money? Nobody.
USC and... Is there another Pac-12 team that could even
maybe do Oregon, but I don't know. I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe Washington, maybe USC and Washington. But it's not like the Big 12's coming in and being like, hey, Klivkov, we're going to just take USC and Oregon from you.
George Klivkov.
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 Is that Klee?
Klivkov. Yeah, the E's
George hard. Klivkov.
Klivkov. There you go.
So... It's not like he's going to come in. It's not like Bowlesby's going to come in and be like, hey, Klivkov, we need to get USC and Oregon on loan. I just want the new Pac-12 commissioner to be really aggressive, really forward, have a really good structure in mind, if in fact these reports that you're mentioning are true. Yesterday's reports, well, there was one moron that was trying to report that was way off base and has been discredited by everybody now.
And not only did Clemson refute it, now Florida State has come out and refuted it as well.
Yeah, and just, I mean, the overall visual of everything refutes it too.
Nice little race there. I didn't know if that guy was going to be able to hold on or not.
That's just the halfway mark.
Oh, that's just yeah. Never mind then.
Yeah, they've got a halfway mark. But that's Portland and Hungary. Nose to nose.
Portugal.
Oh, is that
come on, Portugal.
Portland, Lloyd.
No, it's not Portland.
P-O-R-T, man.
Klivkov. No, I missed it.
Portland. Portugal.
Is this guy going to be able to hang on here?
Portland's a city, huh?
Portland's right there.
Portland is falling behind. Why are we so into canoeing? But
I don't know, but this is a fantastic race.
Yeah, these guys are battling. If you had shoulders.
Oh, there goes Portugal.
He's right there. Come on now. Come on, push.
No, he's not going to make it. No.
Hungry. Getting the win. That dude doesn't look hungry.
Speaking of which, is that a sandwich day today?
Yeah, it would be. That's the quarter mark. Jeez, these guys are going forever.
Oh, jeez.
If you had a back and shoulders like that, would you ever put a shirt on?
Never. No. I would Matthew McConaughey it all day.
All day?
Yeah.
At remotes, you would be like, Hans, no, seriously, the clients are complaining. And I'd say, I respectfully disagree. I guarantee you they're not complaining. They're just jealous.
You see all the female listeners we have coming in here? It's because of Hans.
You have them come and tell me to put a shirt on. Because I guarantee they won't.
So are they almost done now?
Nope. That's just the quarter mark, man.
They got to be almost done. That has to be the end.
Yeah, that's the end right there.
Is this the end?
Right?
No, that is not the end.
No, they're still going.
Still going. How long is this?
I don't know, man. I would be so tired.
Uh-oh, this dude on the bottom, Germany's making a run.
Look at this guy. So, you know what's funny? Scotty, ever since we talked yesterday about the Olympics, and we'll get it. I've got some Olympic stuff. I know you've got some, too, for what you may have missed. I've actually been...
He's fallen down.
Been more drawn to the Olympics.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit. But we know we're finally getting up on the closing rounds. I forgot that there's all these meaningless rounds before you get to the closing rounds.
The actual qualifiers?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
I don't know who this poor dude is there on the bottom, but they can't even fit him in the computer screen or the TV screen
anymore. So far behind.
He's so far behind. They ought to have sharks chasing him and then just turn. This has to be it, right?
Oh, come on.
There we go.
Portugal just lost, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you got a silver?
There's a tie. It's going to come down to the photo finish.
When did Hungary become the kayaking capital of the world? Like, geez, Hungary took the gold and the bronze. That was kind of fun to watch.
All right, 10:46, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on The Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Go. You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. It is time to take a closer look at what's going on in the Olympics.
Never been more grateful for Kevin Durant.
Save the day last night.
Falling apart without Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
right
no, there's no doubt about that. It was touch and go. They were down 10 in the second quarter. And then ended up rally tying it at halftime and then jumping out to a 15-point lead. But Ricky Rubio kept hanging in there, keeping Spain. They cut it to, I think, as low as 6 in the fourth quarter before finally Team USA pulled away. But it was once I finally found the stupid game, I had to watch it on my stupid phone.
Is that how you watched it?
Yeah, because it's on the... You know, and I tweeted out last night, I'm like, hey, what channel is this stupid game on? I was like, hey, it's on the NBC Sports app, old man. Shut up.
Oh, knock it
Let
off.
Let me guess, Hans. Scott bought it for you.
You could watch it on like the NBC. You can watch it on the Peacock. But I wasn't going to pay for the Peacock. So
I've got too many things.
So I downloaded the NBC Sports app and watched it on my phone at midnight last night.
Well, you saw more Rubio than anything.
Yeah, Rubio was great.
So the most points scored by an individual on Team U.S. in team history was 34 points by Dirk Nowitzki back in 2002. It wasn't even the Olympics, a world championship.
Yeah.
2002, 34 points. Ricky Rubio put 38 points, 13 of 20 shooting on Team U.S. last night. And if it wasn't for Kevin Durant, Team U.S. would be out. Now as things stand,
yeah,
they potentially get the matchup with Australia. It's the winner of Australia and...
Portland.
It is Portland. So we'll see if Damian Lillard has... It is Portland. You are correct.
Yeah, Portland will get them.
Actually, I don't know who Australia is playing.
Argentina.
Argentina. Okay.
Australia or Argentina. Two teams that the U.S. has history with.
Yeah, and I want no part of Australia right now.
I don't either. They're playing really well together.
Is it over? Oh, that's right.
It's over, huh?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, thanks for spoiler alert there. Spoiler alert, everybody. Is it going to be on later? I don't even know when these things are on. All I know is
it's hard to keep track of when they go, yes.
Ooh, how about this? 97-59.
Oh, my gosh.
Australia just took Argentina behind the whooping shed.
So the semifinals are Thursday.
And Argentina actually led by 4 at the end of the first quarter. Australia outscored Argentina 37-11 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they had a little standing go for Luis Scola because that's going to be his last game. He's retiring.
Ingles had 11 points.
That was his 8th
Jacques
Olympics.
Londell had 12. Patty Mills, who's a big problem right now, is 18. So, yeah, it's...
What was Bain?
Bain.
I'm just curious what his minutes and rebounds were.
I haven't even seen him on here. Oh, he did not play.
Really?
He was a DNP.
Hmm. So, Australia and the United States will play on Thursday.
I'm not feeling good about this one.
Well, either am I. I'm not feeling good about being able to watch it. I'm hoping that this is going to be like on the mothership or something. I can't watch games on my phone. It's like watching ants. I can't watch ants. I have no interest in it.
Like the insects?
Yeah, because they're so small on my phone.
But who?
No, it's like it'd be like watching ants like run around on my phone because they're so small.
Oh,
huh?
I was gonna say you tried to watch ants and it's like small. Was it like that movie Ants?
No,
it's like watching.
No, they're small like ants on my phone.
Just because it's on your phone doesn't mean they're like far away.
Did you guys ever have an ant farm? I had multiple ants.
Really?
Farms.
Never had a desire to do the old ant farm.
Had a lizard and I didn't live for very long.
Did you never went and collected like a red ant pile and threw it in a bucket and then put stink bugs and spiders in there?
Hey, ladies, come check out my red ants.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Now, my cichlids were a pull for the ladies, but
yeah, I know.
My red ants were just my curiosity as a young boy.
No, I never did that.
Yeah, you throw red ants are very aggressive. They're packed.
So then you throw in like a stink bug in there and then they attack it?
They get it.
Really? They just tear it apart. Huh?
Yeah, they overwhelm it.
If I'd known that was going to happen, I probably would have.
Grasshoppers. I tried to do things that had little meaning, like spiders and grasshoppers and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was fascinated by it. But no, I'm not saying watching ants. I'm just saying that they're the size of ants. I can't watch people the size of ants play basketball on my phone. I hate that. And I don't know how to sling things. And I don't need to hear it from the young group. Well, just figure it out. Need to get a sling TV. I don't have a sling TV. Don't know what that is.
No, you need to get Slack. That's what you need.
Oh, geez.
From our listeners.
We haven't talked about that. So Lloyd and I had a meeting with the old marketing group over at the Jazz. And it was, it was a nice meeting about some of the projects in the future and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're a progressive group.
Yeah. And so anyway, they're like, well, let's connect on Slack. And Lloyd and I are looking at each other like... Okay, let's do that. And then Lloyd says, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh, crap, Lloyd, don't admit. We just like, let's just slow play it and try to figure out.
That's when you cut in, Scotty. You're like, I'll tell you later, Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd, I'll get you up to speed. But it's your buddy Brianna who was in there, and she looked at us like we were like
no, I don't think Brianna.
Like Rose from Titanic, like old Rose. Like,
she didn't judge us that much.
Oh, she was judged. Everybody in that room was judging
us. Everybody else in the room judged us. Like, you don't know what Slack is? I'm like,
and so anyway,
we all do. The three of us have. It's just we like to be cool about it. Some people like to rub it in your face, like let's have a Slack meeting. We're like, okay, calm it down. Let's not make people feel stupid.
And so I'm like. But here's the thing. I'm like, well, why not a group chat? And they're like, no group chat. no, you go on Slack. And I'm like, well, what's the difference?
So what is, does Slack think for you?
Can no, we just text each other?
It's just, it's like.
Can we do a group text?
It's like texting, but on an app that's not. And then one guy's like, well, you can put GIFs on there. Well, you can do that on text too.
Yeah. Lloyd sends me 80s GIFs all the time on text.
Yeah.
Like I get Karate Kid stuff all the time. and
bike
short
bike dancing scenes from Rad.
Yeah. Yes.
Those three. And oh, and apparently some movie called Susie's or something with the kid from Christmas Story.
Susie Q's.
Ruskies.
Ruskies, sorry. You don't need to send us videos of Ruskies, Lloyd. We spent way too much time on it yesterday.
Well, you could check it out. It was a good movie at the time.
I thought Lloyd was talking about Ruskies in Vegas.
Yeah, like, and he's me too. And I'm like, hey.
Lloyd, we're too old for that.
The little clip that you sent Scotty and I was really dumb. Like, really dumb.
Sure. Probably was. But it was cool back then when you were a little kid.
I was waiting for Ralphie to put soap in his mouth. Instead, he ziplined down the side of his house.
Yeah, well, that was Joaquin Phoenix.
That was young Joaquin?
That was young Joaquin Phoenix that rappelled down his window.
Oh, I'll have to go back and take a look at that. Now I'm a little more intrigued.
Now we just spent a little bit more time on this. Thank you for bringing it up.
I hate you for this. I really hate you for this. One other thing I wanted to mention in what you may have missed. I think that the United States of America has a budding star in the world of track and field. This Athing Mu, did you watch her?
No, I did not.
Holy cow. She won the 800 meter, the gold in the 800 meter, and won it by, I don't know, what do they say, 25 hands? Do they judge
it's like distance? By horses?
Yeah, what do you, when you win
12
by,
hands high.
So she won by like 35 or 40 hands.
Wait a minute. They really, hands is a, did they mean like, how tall are you? Like 6'4"?
Yeah.
Like so it's 35 like, of you.
35 of you?
Yeah. No, hands. Like an actual hand.
Like whose hand?
I don't know. In track and field, they measure it by hands like they do horses.
The biggest person's hand there is?
They really just, like, hands is a...
Yes. This is worse than not knowing what slack is.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's way worse.
What do they call it for horses?
Yeah, by hands.
It's not hands for horses.
Yeah, it is.
Are you sure?
That horse is 15 hands high. Yes.
Wouldn't that be hooves?
20 hands. No, stop it. They're not measuring themselves. It's a human measuring a horse. Anyways.
Oh, that doesn't even make sense.
She's 19 years old, and she blew away the competition. What was awesome, she ran the 800 in 2 minutes and 1 second in one of her qualifiers, 1 minute and 58 seconds in her second qualifier, and then for the medal round, she ran it in 1:55. And she is one of those athletes that is compelling, Scotty. When you watch her run, she's like watching, it's like she's born to do this. It's like watching Usain Bolt run, but you're watching this girl. I'm hoping that she can do more than the 800. I'd like to see her win the 400 and the 8, because you got to be multiple events, don't you? Now, I know Usain Bolt was just 100, but that's the most famous of all track events, correct?
Yep.
But this girl, Athing Mu, was unbelievable. I won't forget her. I'll remember her for 4 years.
Actually, you only have to wait 3 now.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Coming up next, Eric Walden will join us. We'll talk about some of the reported deals that are out there with Mike Conley and Rudy Gay. It's up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.